Blog Talk Radio.
Enjoy.
Yeah. This is going out to all the live motherfuckers, know what I'm saying? All the real niggas, Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, California, La Bella, Puerto Rico, wherever the fuck you from, know what I'm saying? Yeah. The story takes place back in the South Bronx, where at the age of 14 I was already knocking on punk. Yeah. The suckers were scared to death. Every time I walk by, I hear them niggas take their last breath. See, I just didn't give a fuck. And if you had a T-skin, I let the bomber, you was getting stuck. Word. That was the way it was. One day I went to visit my aunt and stuck up my cuz. See, shit was fucked up back then. No matter what the fuck I did, I never had no end. And my mom's was on welfare. Hey, yo, I knew I had a father, but the nigga was never there. So what the fuck was I to do? Once it gets out of being the bummiest nigga out the crew, I gotta get mine, I gotta get cash. I see your old man, I'm gonna rob him with the quick bag. Give me your motherfucking loot, poppy. I'm gonna get paid and can't a damn thing stop me. See, I'm tired of this poor shit. And who's the cops? Well, they can suck my motherfucking dick. Cause all the niggas ever do is harass. That's why I get glad when I hear somebody smoke that ass. Just to let you know how I feel, word I'm up, the fucking shit is real. Hey yo, it's real. Hey yo, this shit is real. Hey yo, it's real. Word up, this shit is real. Now I'm 16 and there's a brand new scene. I'm making mad dudes getting paid off the dope fiend. Keeping shit in check and order. And my main man Tone was fucking everybody else's daughter. See, everybody knew in town that Joe and Tone had shit locked down. And the nigga wouldn't test me. It seems like every other day the fucking cops arrest me. But the shit will never stick. I make one phone call and be out right quick. Cause Uncle Dan had my back. And now niggas getting jealous cause they know I'm living fat. Talking shit around for weight and on the block, but never in my face cause they knew I packed the Glock. And my crew is mad deep. A bunch of crazy Puerto Ricans, so yo, don't sleep. And all your bitch ass niggas know for deal. Check it out, the fucking shit is real. Hey yo, it's real. Hey yo, it's real. Shit is real. Yeah. Hey yo, it's real. Check it out. Let me let you know why I made this song. Brothers can't deal with the real word is born. I'm sick and tired of these fake ass niggas saying that they catching bodies when they never pull the trigger. I know your style, I've seen it before. You're wearing army suits, now you think you're hardcore. Drinking on your 40, smoking on your blunts. Can't afford a chain, so you wear gold fronts. Yeah, you're faking the funk, kid. And you'll be getting it up the ass if you ever did a fucking bit. It's time to separate the real from the phony. The name is Fat Joe Punk, act like you know me. I come equipped with the rush shit. Nowadays I can't believe the bull rappers come up with. And all your bitch ass niggas know but deal. Check it out, the fucking shit is real. Hey yo, it's real. Hey yo, the shit is real. Hey yo, it's real. The fucking shit is real. Word up. I wanna say peace to my peeps, the beat nuts. Messages of fuck, strictly roots. My man Full Flex, Zulu Nation, Jazzy J in the house. Diamond D, the whole.
Welcome to Wrestling It Factor. Yeah, it's your host, the student of the game they call pro wrestling, aka Hype Man. You got Wayne Benitez. Yeah, what up, everyone? Yeah, we got a jam-packed show for you on a day where crazy shit happened in wrestling and throughout the hip-hop world. Yeah, we got a guest for you. He's the greatest manager of all time from Ring of Honor. The hip-hop manager indeed. Let's give it up for Julius Smokes.
What's crackin', baby? What's crackin', what it is, man? I'm glad I'm on, yo. What's poppin'?
Yeah, it's an honor, my brother. Welcome to Wrestling X Factor.
Yeah. Mama say knock you out, baby. You know what I mean? Jesse Brooks is on deck right now, my boy. You know that. The ball
right,
ball.
Right.
I'm managing that right now. Pitbull in a skirt. It's bananas.
Oh, shit. Yeah, this is going to be LIWF radio tonight.
What's good?
Yeah, thanks for coming on. From your, you know, you had a lot of busy things to go, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a good night so far. What got you interested in joining the business?
It's in my blood. I mean, just the love of it. Just being around Greensboro, North Carolina, being in Marshville, Virginia, just the whole spectacle of wrestling, just the whole grassroots of wrestling is down there with Black Jack Mulligan, Ric Flair in the cage, the Andersons. The list goes on, my nigga. You know what I mean?
True that.
That's what
bit me
when I was younger, watching those kind of matches. The Briscoes go against Steamboat, Youngblood in the steel cage. Steve-O and Youngblood, they lived on my uncle's block in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I used to see them pack their bags before they went out to wrestle. So that's what gave me the love for the sport. You know what I mean?
Right, crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your memories of training at the LIWF Doghouse?
It was great memories. You know what I mean? Bobby Lombardi put his money where his mouth was at and started something for us that can never be matched. You know, it was almost like the Hearts did in out in Canada, you know what I mean, with the Dungeon. That was the New York version of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the Homicide, Low Key, T.O.T., Low Like Louie, Jay Lover. They all came from Jersey All Pro Wrestling. Well, that was it was actually Long Island of Wrestling Federation before they went to Jersey All Pro Wrestling. But it's all 360. It all goes together. You know what I mean? And it's all good memories, man. That's what's good with that. And my boy House. It's good, House. Hope he ain't dead, man. What's good, House? Where you at, baby? Yeah. Talk to me, man. Where you at, yo? Hello?
Yeah, we got technical difficulties right there. My bad.
If fans can hear me marinate and serenade that question for you, or I got to do that all over again? What's going on? Are we going to move on?
No, it's all good. It's like the LIWF Doghouse. They was also like, it was like a brotherhood there. It was so many of y'all, like Big Zeke was even there.
Yeah, I didn't know his first wrestling match was against me. I'm glad he gave me a shout-out when the WWE asked him who was his first pro wrestling match against, and he said it was against Julius Smokes, J-Train. I was like, wow, I didn't know that was your first match. And we went toe-to-toe. I let the big boy go. You know what I mean? We went toe-to-toe, and we had a great match. So that was a good look. But mysteriously, that match got erased. I think somebody in the future knew that they didn't want me having that match on tape. But somebody mysteriously erased that match.
Right.
Wow. That's a doghouse for you. Well, go ahead.
What are your memories of debuting at Ring of Honor?
You talking about the Rock Runner run at the Ring of Honor or just our run in general?
Ring of Honor in general.
It with the melting pot. I mean, it was a spectacular experience. Gave me opportunity to be in the corner of Homicide, which Homicide at the time, I'm not going to say he didn't need it, but it was like they felt that the chance and everything that I brought to the table integrated to what he did, we become millionaires. You know, scared money don't make no money. And we came in this business to make things happen. And that's exactly what we did. With AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels, those guys was total professionals behind the scenes. And also CM Punk, Colt Cabana, all those guys, yo, they, you know, it was a lot of love, man. That was a unit right there, man. Those guys love wrestling, my man. Don't get in the ring, you weren't depending on having a 5-star match. That was the ring on the back of the days. You saw it in those guys' eyes. Don't get in that ring if you wasn't ready. They got rid of you immediately.
True.
And I stayed there for, what, 8 years? So that showed you how good I was. Blood fire!
What are your thoughts of a good manager brings in this business?
Well, I'm a hip-hop manager. So I approach the match in a whole different way. It's almost like I'm in a corner of an MMA boxer or Muhammad Ali's corner. I'm going to give you a chance to say certain things to you to guide you towards the light. You know what I mean? And it's a show. This is entertainment. It's wrestling. And I just wanted to put my own signature on it. I ain't want to look at what Bobby the Brain Heenan did or what J.J. Dillon did. I mean, it was all good, but, you know, I just wanted to put my own niche to the sport, and I think that's what I did. I was the original. I ain't trying to be like nobody else.
Right.
I was really a stitcher of the fans because going out there to those matches, I didn't know what was going on. I was really into those matches. That's what made it authentic towards what I did out there. I didn't know how much I was going to get out at 2. 1, 2, oh! It was real. You know what I mean?
True that,
my dude. I walked away in the back when they're going over anything. Ring of Honor was just straight up real, man. I just walked away. I went out there, went into those matches, and just made history with Homicide, man.
Right.
Tim and Loki. Ricky
right.
Reyes, Rocky Romero. Whew, that was a melting pot, yo. Gabe did his thing, yo. He did it the Obama way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He made all nationalities flow. That's how you get your money, man.
Yeah.
You know
That's
what I mean?
True. Oh, right,
yeah.
True. Yeah, what are your memories of the greatest faction in Ring of Honor, the Rockwallers?
I think the feud with Colt Cabana and also just having, I feel a low-key would have stayed in the group a little bit longer, but he had his own personal agenda and his approach on business and how he wanted to attack this industry in general. So he didn't want to stay in a box for that long, so he left. But I felt if we would have stayed together as a unit with low-key, wow. But some of the matches I remember with Low Key, Homicide, and them that was number one in my mind would have to be the Rex Flex when Low Key and Daniel Bryanson, I think they teamed up to win against Samoa and Joe and Juicy Thunder Liger. That was the Rex Flex. Remember that?
That's where the house down.
Yeah. And they packed the house 24/7 there. You know what I'm saying? And that was that was a crazy atmosphere right there. You know what I mean? And also the feud with the Colt Cabana in Chicago. And Daniel Bryanson in Chicago, but they tried to kick us out the building. We was really trying to take Daniel Bryan out. and Daniel Bryan was really trying to take us out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was one of those times.
We went toe to toe
and everything. Right.
Yeah.
And was there any heat with you and Conan for managing the same people in RH?
Nah, not at all. He came in with his arms open. It's like we had our arms open for him. I mean, it was like, you know, he knew he was doing business with Muhammad Sai down in TNA. And when he came into the Ring of Honor, he knew, you know, where it originated from and why Homicide was in TNA. So he understood what Julius Smalls brought to the table, and he just let it flourish. He said, Julius, go out there and do your thing, you know?
Right.
And that's Bruce Poetry in Motion. I really had no problem with Conan. It was just my thing is that if somebody tell you all the time that you're good and always pat you on the back 24/7, it's like, it's time to go get this money. Let's go get this money together instead of watching the next person go get it. I didn't mind doing that at first, you know what I'm saying, you know, because they wanted a Latino thing, a Latino connection going on down there with LAX. But in New York City, Puerto Ricans and Latinos rode together, you know what I mean? And that's something that Gabe recognized. He understood the hood. But when you deal with Midwest guys now, you bring Jim Cornette in, They back in the 80s and 70s. They still think Puerto Ricans are Mexicans and they cutting everybody's yard. No, it ain't like that high in the hood. Puerto Ricans and blacks, we started breakdancing together in hip-hop. You don't separate us. You bring us in. You know what I mean?
Right.
And,
you know, some of these niggas were, you know, out of touch on where to, you know, how to use it. Let people be themselves,
that real shit,
you know.
Because Samoa Joe, Jay Lethal, it was mad people at TNA telling me, yo, Smokes, where are you at, Smokes? Yo, Smokes, where you coming down, Smokes? I'm hearing the rat. I'm hearing the yeah, on TV. That means you coming, right? That's what my niggas on Clay Avenue, Philly Avenue, was telling me out in the Bronx. Yo, dog, do you know how it is to walk the street and you're not at TNA and everybody thinking you are? You know, people in New York, they don't stop and talk to you unless you something. And I have people stopping me in the hood like, yo, Julius Smokes. I'm like, how the fuck you know my name? Yo, man, yo, you're doing your thing. That Ring of Honor. I'm like, whoa, is that big? You know what I mean? So... I appreciate the opportunity, man. We ain't there. We got a lot more to come.
True.
Oh, man, we got a lot more to come. And I just love this game, man. What else you want to talk about, man? I got a lot on my mind, man. Spit this, man. What's going on?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Rob Feinstein?
I thought he got railroaded to a certain extent. But the show had to keep going regardless of his alleged or what was going on criminally with him. I don't know what was really actually taking place. I don't want to go into depth with that. As I said, allegedly. And they took him off the roster. I mean, well, you know, he started Ring of Honor with him and I just knew it was him at first. And then Kerry, it was also Kerry Sawton. He was also there, too. You know what I mean? But I know Rob Feinstein was one of the top guys, I remember, because he started RF Video. You know what I mean? And I got a lot of good things for Rob. I mean, you know, he's in a good place right now. Those are things that he went through. But you have to know the originator, basically, to us, how it was started. It was passed on. Kerry took the ball, took the company to a whole different level. He built the company up to a point just like Jim Crockett did, sold it to Sinclair Entertainment, which he did a smart move because he also sold the company. And also like Jim Crockett did with Ted Turner, he also has a spot within the company. So he didn't. He's still within the company and gets a paycheck, even though he sold the company. That's a genius, man. That's something I want to do one day.
Hell yeah.
I see what you're doing, Kerry. Ain't nobody stupid. That's why you talk to him now. He says, sing to the choir. He ain't the boss, but then again he is, huh? I know what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Just
yeah.
Like Gossip, you know what I mean?
Illuminati.
Just like Gossip Rate, selling his speakers to Apple when he laying back getting paid still. On their payroll.
You know, when you reach a certain level, man, only thing people see is green. They don't see color. They see green. And I feel every time I came to the table with the Urban Wrestling Federation, the segment I did with them, the numbers went up the charts after me and Rob scrapped and went at it on TV. You know what I'm saying? And I felt that angle would have took the company to a whole different level. And I don't know what happened with the Urban Wrestling Federation, but that fell to the bottom. You know what I'm saying? I felt the rappers didn't kept it on their side of the deal to promote the company when they out there on the radio talking about. I never really heard them talk about the Urban Wrestling Federation. None of them. Uncle Murda, none of them. They just took the money and ran. Is what it is.
Right.
That's the Urban Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, it had lots of potential also to go further.
It had seven or eight pay-per-views. I got credits on being able to be the Jamie Foxx for this wrestling game, to wrestle, commentate, and manage. It's a blessing, y'all, you know. When I was down south and up here in the Bronx acting a fool up in class, my grandmother said, you better get paid for that one day. And that's what I do. He said, you act stupid. You better get paid for that one day, boy. You acting like that. Why you acting like that for? Power robbing people through the ground and throwing people into steel cages. You know what I mean? That's what we used to do in the Bronx. You walk through a street in the Bronx, you was walking by me, I used to throw you into a steel cage.
Yeah, true.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? I was always in wrestling mode.
What's your memories of the Vulture Squad?
Well, I have my Chocolate Vulture. I have my Bootylicious Vulture. I had Jack Evans. That's White Chocolate. You know what I'm saying? And I had, what, Jigsaw. So the Unmasked Vulture, which flopped. That would have been like a Cartoon Network type of vibe. There was a lot of things you could do with that when they came down to making money, T-shirts, merchandising. Remember, the Vulture Squad, Rock Wallace, Gabe came to me about both names, and I spit it up right at the top of my head. I came in this game as a hip-hop artist. You know what I mean? My first hip-hop record I made was with Undue Barnett, Buddha Head, back in 94. And I think a lot of people sleeping on me. That's why I want to bust a lot of people bubbles about if they think they robbed me or not. I came in this game as a hip-hop artist. I know about getting my money. And a lot of people think they got away with murder, and they didn't. We're about to laugh all the way to the bank. My name is really Julius Smokes.
Yeah.
I got the flyest name in the fucking business. I didn't have to change my name to nothing else. That is my name. You know what I mean? What up?
Right.
What up?
Yeah,
Google it.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on Jim Cornette?
He's an expert when it comes down to managing the business, but actually, like, being a Pat Riley position of putting a team and building a team for a championship run, he hasn't won any championships of doing that. I mean, he's been in certain areas, and once he manages and stay within doing that, I think he's good. But once he starts putting his hands in other areas where you really don't need no fixing and he thinks he's going to help out on, I don't know. I mean, he turned the Ring of Honor to an Ivy League type of like Ivy League school. Like, I don't know. It just looked strange to me. You know, the Ring of Honor was like a melting pot. Everybody was dead. I mean, the Puerto Ricans, the Dominicans, the Cubans, the Caucasians. I mean, everything blended right. And as soon as he came, it was like he wanted to go back into the 80s. And even the 80s, they used rock and roll. I mean, they don't talk about the music they was able to use back then. The reason why those people was amped to those matches. You know what I mean?
Right.
Ah, man, it's crazy, man. You know, Vince McMahon, was behind rock and roll. It was behind music.
Right.
Will you cut me off a say?
Yeah, it was even Smoky Mountain Wrestling also. It was actually booked just like that also.
Yeah, but if it ain't, I mean, I'm not going to say it's not broke, don't fix it. It was just at the Ring of Honor. Once they got rid of Gabe, it was nobody really there that had a credibility or potential to really take them where they needed to go. They gave it to people who was wrestlers, but I never knew these guys was being bookers, you know, like Delirious and who was the other guy? Wow, totally forgot his name.
Yeah, right now,
yes, I
want
to forget his name.
He's doing some booking also.
No. I'm talking about after Gabe left, it was somebody else that took over. It was before Delirious. I used to call him the Repo Man. His name is on the tip of my fucking tongue. Wow, I totally forgot the guy's name, yo. But I just never really knew these guys had an experience to taking the company the way Gabe did, even though, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
Silk,
a shady business, man.
Yeah, Curry Silken wanted to go in a different direction.
I ain't going to say a different direction. If your soldiers ain't feeding to your ideas the way they used to, they're going to start to bail out on you and try to sabotage what you do. You have to understand, man, it's a shady business, man. Then all of a sudden you see a whole legion of people running the show, and they're not letting other people on the show because they're looking out for their people now. They don't care how good Julius Smokes was. That was under Gage's regime. You know, I got my boys here. I'm going to look out for them now to give them that shine. Even though he was sucking our cocks and showing us love in the back when we was Rockwallers, now you want to shit on us when you the booker and don't want to give me an opportunity to come in the game on some other shit. It was cruddy, my dude. Yeah, I'm spitting that real shit right now. Yo, nobody can't beat me, yo. I'm just, you know, let the truth set you free. I know God loves me, man. And my family, all my brothers is out. They looking at this shit like, yo, Smokes, you got robbed, yo. Something ain't right. So I don't like too many people calling me, telling me how good I am, how good this is. And you ain't hooking me up with nothing. I don't want to hear it, man. Bullshit.
Right.
Yeah. What up?
Yeah. What's your memories of ICW?
Good memories. I mean, Blood Ties. Working with the Maximum Brothers and everything else that took place there. I mean, that was a great vibe there. I was like Slash Doghouse. The Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was there. Greek God, Papa Don. He's remarkable right now. He's the sleeper.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see him in the WWE anytime.
Yeah, he won the top free agents in the game.
You know what I mean? Because he stayed dedicated, just like Homicide and Low Life Louie, Low Key, and everybody else has shown, man, and Jay Lover. And a lot of people sleep on Jay Lover, too, man. Those guys had some hardcore matches when they was in Jersey All-Pro Wrestling, man. They beat the shit out of each other back in the days, man. It's soft right now. That's why these guys don't really have no respect for the guys that's coming out right now. But they didn't go through what they had to go through when it was in Jersey All-Pro. Look at those matches, man. Those hardcore matches, Hit Squad throwing people through walls. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Oh, shit. Right now, you're currently in the Faxon and Bronx Wrestling Federation. What are your thoughts on that? You working right now at Bronx?
I'm not working with those people, so I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I was the NDIW Heavyweight Champion for a year. Then I was the Bronx Heavyweight Champion, Bronx Wrestling Federation Champion for like 8 months. Held that belt down. I have bigger fish to fry right now. You know what I'm saying? Belgium now. You know. Blood fire. No. Yes. Yes. And I think the people want to see me in the E right now, yo. WWE, man.
Right.
They
want to
see you do your smokes on a broader level. You know what I mean? So my people in the Dirty South and everywhere else that recognize my talent can appreciate it, man. You know, it's just time to buy the house and everything else that deserves. Even though I got that right now, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, you know, more.
Right.
Grown man status. That's where I'm at right now.
Right.
Well, I work for free. I'm a pro already. You know, people kill me with that right now, yo. When I first worked for Bobby Lombardi, he set the standards. He gave me $100 my first show I ever did for him. Why should I work for anything less? That was back in 97, 98, when I turned pro. So anybody else who's trying to throw you something else other than that, man, they try to rob you. They try to look at you like you're a fucking idiot. And I refuse to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
Ring of Honor treated me very well in the pockets. I ain't going to perpetrate a fraud with that. I had a great run there. And a Ring of Honor, you have to use that as a launching pad for your career to promote yourself to go somewhere else. They gave you the opportunity. They gave you the marketability. Now you use it to go somewhere else if you want to. And that's what I'm doing.
Right.
You don't go back.
And
you
do you
forward.
Think? Right, true that.
Everybody
do you
else
think
did.
TNA missed a boat on bringing you in and other dudes from, you know, the LIWF, Doghouse, and other top indie talent out there. They just they fucked.
No, themselves. They didn't miss the boat. I was given the opportunity. If you listen to what I was talking about earlier, Samoan Joe, Jay Lethal, you know, Homicide was automatic. It was people telling
right.
me to come down, and I didn't come down. So I put that on my back. That was my situation. So that's the way I look at it. I didn't take advantage of the opportunity that was there because when they're using, when people's throwing your name in the background, in the back of the scene, and they're making jokes, using your shit, that means it's time for you to come down there and say, okay, this is who they're talking about. Here I am. I didn't do that. Angel Rodriguez did that. He took advantage of that. And he was able to be in some of Homicide LEX's videos because he's Puerto Rican. You know, it was a Spanish thing that was going on. So I understood that
right.
and I respected that. And I'm a team player. You know, I'm just saying it's my time right now, though. That's all.
Right.
But I'm a team player. See, a lot of motherfuckers came in this game. You know what the problem is? They ain't nothing like Dusty Rhodes, Manny Fernandez, Dick Murdoch. The list goes on. Because they didn't really go to college and play football. They didn't play high school football and basketball. They lied on their resume. They was couch potatoes that decided to be wrestlers in their 20s. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
they don't really know what it is to be a team player. You see, I systematically know how to be a team player because I came from that regiment of being on AAU basketball teams that won championships in Virginia, that won football championships. So I'm just automatically inclined to know the chain of command, you know what I mean, from a coach.
Right.
To know how to be on the team. A lot of these cats don't know how to be on the team because they faked it until they made it. I'm really a team player. That's why I'm saying I waited my time. Now was you know I waited my turn. Now was my time. I'm still my material is still fresh. I got a lot of shit I haven't even said yet, and I'm not gonna say it. That's why you That's why you keep on hearing me, blah, yeah, because you haven't heard my new shit yet. Yo, my thumb point is out of prison, my nigga. I got niggas that wrote for Lord Finesse that's in my corner. I got the Boogie Down in my corner, my dude. I got Melrose Projects in my corner. I got Patterson Projects, my dude. Webster Avenue, 161. Yankee Stadium, Morris Avenue. Yo, let's get it in, yo. Dude, the smoke is here, yo. Yo, Brooklyn, you stand up for me right now. Big houses, Linden Boulevard, the smokes. We do this, man. You know my brother did 25 to life. We spent up the whole project in the lobby, boy. We get our time with up. Yo, this is real what I'm talking to you about, man.
Right.
You talk about the bone saw, Jesse. Oh, my God. She's wicked. She's going a lot of places. She's going to the WWE, man.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, she definitely on fire.
Only time's going to tell.
True.
I can see right now,
and,
you made those on J-Train before. You startled right now.
Yeah, Dirty need to take notes, definitely.
They already know. You Google Julius Smokes WWE, you will see what they know of me. Don't play around, man. Know how to use
right.
That computer. I know how to use it. They know who Julius Smokes is. I'm just going to walk through the door.
Right.
Looking like the devil still a law himself. They want channel 2?
Yeah,
I get on channel 2. They want the pay-per-view? I give it to them. I mean, it's either which way they want it, I give it to them. I'm multi-talented, man. I'm ready.
Right.
What's on your mind?
Yeah. What's your opinion right now with the thing going on with TNA, possibly not getting another, trying to fight hard to get a TV deal to stay on, and Spike TV not renewing it.
Wicked mind, you know. That's something I really don't understand there, you know. But everything
right.
that just started must come to an end. Boom! You know, everything
right.
that you start comes to an end eventually. It doesn't matter how good it is. But I think that's a smoke screen. You know, they're gonna jump to another station, if anything. You know, I don't think they're going to go out like that.
Right. Yeah, definitely they're going to have to change their landscape some also.
Yeah, what?
They're going to have to change some of their landscape, get some dudes in there that know how to run a company well also, get the right people
Look,
in there.
No. You have to understand. There's something I realized about this business. It's in fact the rap business. I'm going to tell you a story that was told to me a long time ago, and this was somebody that was really in the industry. They from the Bronx. These are some MCs. I mean, I'm going to put it like this. They was R&B artists, and they was going to let us in the game. I did some music with these guys. It was like the early 90s and whatnot. But there's certain things that I believe in. I believe in Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But if you do what you do, that's just more females for me. You know what I mean? And then they told me it's going to take you 15 to 20 years to get in this business. I'm like, well, I and you know what? They didn't lie. Because I wanted to get in the right way. I don't go in that way. You know what I mean? It's never been my particular style. And, talk to me, pal. You hear me right now.
Right. Yeah, Also, do you have anything to plug for any upcoming...
No, let's continue with the original question, which you was asking me about. I was about to go into something. You know what I'm saying?
Was that about... About your background in the music industry?
Yeah, well, my background, but I'm just saying to us also how you break into the business in general, man. You just gotta have a drive and standards, and you don't bend over for nobody. And sooner or later, eventually, it's gonna work out for you. So just stick to your game plan. Towards anybody that's listening to this right now, you're gonna get what you want if your heart's really into it. But if you fake it till you make it, it's gonna fall apart on you. Cause a nigga like me is gonna realize you ain't real. I'm gonna run you out the business. And right now you have people, just like I said before, they need to really love this industry before they get in, instead of trying to exploit it, and that's wrestling. Cause they really don't love it. You just have people, couch potatoes, that think they can really get in, but they ain't really play no collegiate sports. They play nothing in high school to validate where they want to be at right now. And that's my problem with the industry, like the independents right now, a bunch of mama boys. We have to plug too much, man. They know where I'm at. Google Julius Smokes. You'll find out what's going on.
Right, right. And definitely, do you see possibly the right people running future indies coming up in the Northeast more?
If they have solidarity within the foundation, I like Valkyrie right now because of the direction they want to go with the female wrestling. You see the talk shows on TV, the talk and different shows like that. They're number one. They have nothing but women on there. And I think wrestling need to pay attention to that a little bit more. And I think Valkyrie is going to start something big right now in New York City. I think that's the next big thing right now.
True that. Yeah, what definitely.
What guys want to see females really go at it and wrestle and tight and get all sweaty and knocking each other's teeth out? Because that's what Jesse Brooks do. That's what she brings to the ring. That's what her intensity. And she has a love for this sport. And she knocking guys out too.
Yeah.
Oh.
From Brooklyn.
You don't sound like you want to knock you out. Huh?
Yeah, definitely a shoe.
Come on, boy. Look at come. but you know, you know what? I'm gonna plug something real quick though. It's something that Bobby Lombardi. It's something that's coming up with the LIWF, Bobby Lombardi. I think it's a show coming up on August the 2nd. You know about them, right?
Bobby Lombardi, show for August 22nd. No, I'm just finding out.
No, not August 22nd. I think it's August the 2nd. I think it's next weekend. I'm not sure, but I want people to be able to, Google Bobby Lombardi or LIWF, and they'll be able to find it. But they have their own new training facilities that is up and running right now, too. So, you know, they're trying to get back on their feet and do big things, too. So I'm going to plug my old alumni, Doghouse. They're doing big things right now. No, check them out.
Right. Yeah.
You will see Julius Smokes. I will be at TNA at the Hammerstein Ballroom when they come through on August the 5th to cheer Muhammad Homicide on and other big things. A lot of surprises coming up.
That's what's up. Yeah, we're about to run out of time. The management at Blog Talk Radio. Won't give me no extra time, so it's nice for you to be on here, man.
Blood, fire. This gimmick is one time.